Today. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And when I say that, I say Merry, then I put the C-H-R-I-S-T-dash-mas. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Well, here we are again. I just listened to that song, though, and that song had a part in there that it says, slow your roll. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be joyful. So joy is something that we just don't. That we have, but we can also choose to be. So whatever circumstances you got on right going on right now, just always understand that you get to choose what you're going to be. God was all about choice. He made us different than he did the animals. We can decide whether we're going to be one way or another. So right now, I just hope that you choose to be joyful no matter what the circumstances are. We're going to be joyful today. Lord God, our Father, let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you once again for being able to come to this place that you provided for us. It's Christmas. It's the day that we celebrate our Savior coming into this world. But Father, let us not forget that every day that we walk on this earth, we can celebrate that the Savior is with us. Your Holy Spirit lives inside each and every one of us that believe. And Father, if there's one right now that's hearing my voice that don't believe, before we finish this lesson today, Father, help them to understand. Before this service is over today, Father, help them to come to know you, your Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord, as their Lord and Savior. As we go through these verses this morning, Father, like once again, we're looking into your word, and you tell us to let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Father, all I ask right now is you just move me completely out of the way, because, see, it's all about you. Once again, this is your day. This is the day that we celebrate, that you came into the world so that we all might be saved. So, Father, for that we say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Okay, we're in the joy book again, and you're going to hear me say that every time we go here. We're into Philippians, and like I said earlier, I think last week, it's anywhere between 16 and 19 times. I'm going to count them. Last week, I said 16, but then I was doing some more reading, and I saw that it was a couple more. 16 and 19 times the joy is mentioned in the book of Philippians. So let's get into our reading portion right now. I think last week we cut off at chapter 1, verse 8. So we're going right into chapter 1 and verse 9. And it reads as follows. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Now, we do know, just backtrack just a little bit, we do know that Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, a Macedonian church that had set up in Philippi. And he has a great love for these people. He really does. They had worked reading just a small portion that we read last week. We come to find out that Paul has a special affection for this group of people. And somehow or another, they exhibited to him that they had the same affection for him. You know, we talked about before that they didn't have internet and cell phones and all that where they could call somebody up. And it had been like 8 or 9 years since Paul had been to this church. But he was getting messages from other people that these people were still doing it for the Lord. That's the only way I can think of to put it. And right here, when he says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in the knowledge and understanding of Christ. You know, Paul's love and affection for them was not based merely on past experiences, but also on the unity that comes when believers draw upon Christ's love. You know, all Christians, you know, each and every one of us are part of God's family. And we share equally in the transforming power of his love. You know, ask yourself, do you really feel a deep love for fellow Christians, friends, and strangers? And, you know, love is what motivated. Love is the motivating factor in everything that was ever done with us. Christ chose to come out of love for us. And when we stop and think about the fact that, you know, he gave up heaven. And he really did. He gave up heaven. He was already there. Genesis tells us all the way back in the beginning when it says to let us make man. That was him, the Holy Spirit, and God, the Father together. He gave all that up just so he could come down here and understand us. He knew us, yeah, but he wanted to feel everything that we felt. He wanted to know everything we dealt. And today we celebrate the fact that he came as a baby. So he not just came, he didn't just come down as a grown man so to go through for a minute. He started off as a child. I don't know about you, but I got a young granddaughter. And each and every one of us have experienced this before. And to watch a child grow from one stage to another and to a grown individual. And Jesus did all of that just for us so that he would be able to understand exactly what we're going through. But see, this morning it's about Paul, so let's get back to the written portion. Verse 9, we just read that. And let's go on to verse 10. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Now, one thing that I do know, we as Christians, the best way to influence someone is to pray for him or her. You know, in verse 9, we're covering that just real quick. Paul's prayer for the Philippians that they would be unified in love. Their love was to result in greater knowledge of Christ and deeper understanding. Their love wasn't based on feelings, but on what Christ had done for them. And again, too, I guess read verse 10, Paul prayed that the Philippians would have the ability to differentiate between right and wrong, good and bad, vital and trivial. Right and wrong, good and bad, vital and trivial. That's where that word discernment comes in. You know, we as believers have got to be able to know what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, and just what doesn't really matter. And he prayed for them to have that because they were in a time when they didn't have what we have today. We have the written word. We would call it today a hearsay gospel. This was new ground for them, okay? They were getting in on the ground floor. So Paul really wanted them to come to understand the best way, one of the greatest ways is to be able to discern what's right and wrong. And if he was telling them that, apparently it was some stuff going on, which we'll read about later, probably in this chapter, which we read. Matter of fact, in a few minutes, we're going to see why he was telling them that, because there was some stuff going on where people was coming in and they wasn't doing like they were supposed to do. Okay. Let's see, where is we at? I lost my place for a minute. Oh, verse 11. Here we go. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. The fruit of your salvation. What is the fruit of salvation? I think Pastor Jonathan took us through, was it Jonathan? No, it might have been Jude. That's right. It was Dr. Rogers took us through Galatians. And in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And if you don't know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here we see, once again, where Paul said, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory to God. You know, the fruit of salvation includes all of the character traits flowing from a right relationship with God. Believe it, there's no other way for us to gain this fruit of righteousness than through Christ. No other way to get it except through Christ. And just, you know, later on today, think about that. Are you, well, that's jumping ahead. We're going to go on to verse 12. Verse 12, and it reads as follows. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me to spread the good news. You know, when it comes to spreading, taking the word around the world back then, you know, Paul and them didn't have airplanes and cars and, you know, things like that to get them somewhere real fast. They usually had to get on a ship. And then not a ship like the ships, the big ocean liners. I'm talking about a little bitty boat that might have held 15 or 20 people. And no air conditioning, no large food layouts like when we go on the ocean liners or something like that. They didn't have any of that. This is just a boat. And as a matter of fact, it wasn't even a power motor. People was usually rowing this boat. And they boarded ships to go to foreign lands and did not expect to see their homeland shores again. When Paul and the early missionaries left somebody, when they told them goodbye, you know, that was usually the last time they would hear from them. Their goodbyes were final in terms of earth time. There was no turning back. You know, while air travel, email, and other technologies have made wonderful separation much easier, pioneering with the good news still requires a high sacrifice. Passion was for others to discover the good news of eternal life through Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost would be. He pressed toward the frontiers of spiritual darkness, and it still requires pioneers today. You know, everybody in the world has not heard about Christ yet. I know we like to think that they have. Yep, we got those avenues to get it all over the place a whole lot faster. But Jesus said when everybody that has heard, that everybody is supposed to hear, he's coming back. And we see that Jesus ain't came back yet. So we got to bear in mind that it hasn't gotten to everyone yet. And, you know, we need to pray for missionaries because we still got, like I said, people in other parts of the world. Us here in the United States, you know, we kind of got it made. But there are other people in the world that don't have the luxuries that we have here. So every opportunity that you can, support those people that are still going out spreading the gospel, the good news about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Because, see, that's the only way to get to heaven. And I want everybody to go to heaven. I do. I want everybody to go to heaven. Got to remember, hell wasn't prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his boys. But God made heaven for us. So every opportunity that you get, jumping ahead a little bit, but every opportunity that you get, when opportunity presents itself, go ahead and speak up for Christ. Let's see where we at now. Okay, let's see. Verse 13. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. Now, stop and think about it. What would it be like to be in jail? I remember, you know, Paul was in jail. He was on house arrest, but he was still where he couldn't move around like he wanted to. He could move around, but not going in and out and doing. But it said, when he says here, everyone's here, I'm in chains, and I'm in chains because of Christ. And I'm going to read a little further. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's messages without fear. You know, I'm going to tell you, I can't wait to get to heaven and meet Paul. Because this was the same guy that at one time or another had persecuted Christians. Now, he done flipped it 180, and he's going all out for Christ. And he is. And you know, being in jail would cause many people to become, stop and think about it. I mean, being in jail would cause you sometimes to get bitter. And really not care and just to give up. But Paul saw it as one more opportunity to spread the good news of Christ. You know, Paul realized that his current circumstances weren't as important as what he did with them. His current circumstances weren't as important as what he did with them. Turning a bad situation into a good one, he reached out to the Roman soldiers who had made up the palace guard and encouraged those Christians who were afraid of persecution. I mean, Paul's sitting up here talking to the guards about getting saved, the people that, you know, was watching him. You know, and sometimes we draw a line when it comes to talking to somebody about Christ. But Paul wanted, like I said earlier, wanted everybody to be saved. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants everybody to be saved. There's enough room in heaven for everybody. And it is. If he made this world and it can hold all the people on earth, you can't tell me that he ain't got a place that's big enough for everybody else. Now, you know, we might not be in prison, but we have plenty of opportunities. You know, we still get discouraged. You know, times of indecision, financial burdens, family conflict, church conflict, the loss of jobs. Or I just got to say, we get discouraged and we break a fingernail sometimes. You know, we get so easily taken off our page. And here we got a man that was locked up in jail. Didn't know whether or not he was going to live or die, make it to the next day, because he was on his way to go from Caesar to find out whether or not he, you know, was going to be wrapped up. But his whole mission, and we're talking about a man that used to persecute Christians, like I said, he flipped. His whole mission was just to make sure that everybody got saved, that the word, the good news of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection just kept on getting passed from place to place, from person to person. And the end of that verse said, and speak God's message boldly without fear. See, that's one thing that we have to come to understand. Don't be afraid to speak up for Christ. When you stop and think about the fact the God of creation is on your side, the one that made heaven and earth and everything in it, that made the whole universe, when you stop and think about that he's on your side, that should take away all fear, because it says in his words, he said, I never will leave you, I never will forsake you. In other words, I'm going to roll with you all the time. So if you roll with me, I got you. Verse 15. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. 16 says, they preach because they love me, for they know I've been appointed to defend the good news. 17 says, those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely intending to make my change more painful to me. And 18 says, but that doesn't matter whether their motives are false or genuine. The message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice, continue to rejoice. Okay. You know, Paul had this really amazing selfish attitude. He knew that some were preaching to build their own reputations, taking advantage of his imprisonment to try to make a name for themselves. Now, regardless of the motives of these preachers, Paul rejoiced that the gospel was being preached. You know, some Christians serve for the wrong reasons. Now, Paul wouldn't condone or just got to excuse their motives. But we should be glad if God uses their message regardless of their motives. You know, we live in a society right now, and, you know, I'm not going to talk about preachers, but I'm going to talk about them. Well, some of these cats is doing it for all the wrong reasons. Paul said that it really didn't matter to him, just as long as they were preaching Jesus. And see, it doesn't take an eloquent speaker. I like listening to really good people that can, really good preachers that can just talk. You know, I'm not blessed with that ability. That's why I talk like I do now, because of the fact that, you know, I just got to be me. But at the same time, the same little old lady, the same little old man that walks up to somebody that hands them a tract or a book that said, Jesus saves, they're doing more for the gospel than sometimes that eloquent preacher is. You know, we got cats out there, and I'm going to just say it, to still, you know, do it for financial gain, still do it for stature and prestige, to still do it for what we might seem all the wrong reasons. But like Paul did, I don't care what they're doing it for, as long as they're preaching the good news, the gospel. And I take that back, I do care, because I'm not going, you know, I ain't going to say I don't. I do care sometimes, but I had to, after going through Philippians myself, I come to understand it doesn't matter as long as the word is getting out. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of our sins, as long as it's drawing people to Christ. I don't care how you do it, just as long as you're based on that right there. I pray for those that might not be doing it the way they're supposed to, but I'm not the judge. It's not for me to say. Because one day they'll stand in front of the master just like each and every one of us will, and they'll have to be held accountable for what they did here. But as long, like Paul say, as long as they're getting it out, Don't let it bother you, Krishna. See, sometimes we get caught up in saying that, you know, well, this one over here is doing this and this one over there. You know, the devil is real slick. He'll pull you off your page in a minute. That's just a distraction. That's all it is. As long as they preach the word, that's all that really matters. And that's what Paul was saying to them. You know, Paul could have become depressed, discouraged, and disillusioned. He could have wallowed in self-pity and despair. Instead, he regarded his imprisonment as being appointed by God. In fact, God had used Paul's imprisonment in Rome to bring the gospel to the center of the empire, as well as to give Paul lots of time to write letters that would one day end up in the New Testament. God had used Paul's imprisonment in Rome to bring the gospel to the center of the empire. You know, back then, Rome was the place. Rome was the place to be, kind of like used to be Washington, D.C. for us. But Rome was the place. And Paul had not only spoke to unsaved people in just simple places. Now he was in the center, and Rome was the center of everything back then. That's where everything happened, was Rome. And now here's Paul, standing in front of, word going out to kings, to all the people. I don't know what they called them back then, but we would have called the president and the senate and all of that. The word is going. And that's all Paul wanted to do. But what we have to understand too is that if the Lord don't have you in Washington, if he got you in Ecorse, River Rouge, that's where I'm at, or wherever you place right there, he has you there for a reason. And all you got to do is just go ahead and get that word out. He's going to take care of you later on. Like we'd like to talk about our reward when we get to heaven. And contrary to what we believe here, people, we were put here. We were put here just to make sure that people got saved. That should be our sole purpose on this earth right now. See, God takes care of everything else for us. I don't know about you, but I can testify to the fact that God takes care of everything else for us. And like Jesus told his disciples back in John, Matthew, I don't know exactly where, but I know it's in those two places when he told them to go out and tell everybody about me, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Sometimes your Judea is the person that's right across the street from you. But if each and every one of us just took our time to go out and get the word to just that small circle around us, think about how fast that world was spread. Yep, we got the internet and everything else, but sometimes personal interaction with that one. So the next time you get the opportunity to talk to somebody about Christ, don't bypass it. I had a situation just yesterday when I was talking to my barber, and he came up and told me that he really hadn't read his Bible since 2011. But he had everything in him that he needed that he could remember. And I was about to walk out that barbershop, and the Lord told me, no, you don't. And I turned around and went back and told that young man, yeah, you might think that you have everything in you that you need. But the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved. And why do we study to show ourselves approved? So that we might be able to rightly divine the word of truth. And that means that when somebody come up, that we'll be able to tell them just how it goes, lead them to Christ. And even though he might have thought that he had everything he needed, I don't know about you, but at the same time, when it comes to me, it ain't a day that go by that I can't look into God's word, because every time I look into it, I get something different. Every time I look into it, the Holy Spirit brings something else back to me. And we just have to be able, when opportunity presents itself, to speak a relevant word to that individual. Well, I meant to get a little further than that, but we just got up to 18. And I'm going to read 6 to 18 real quick. And it says, but that doesn't matter whether their motives are false or genuine. The message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice. And I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. I'm out of time. And sorry about that. You know, thought we'd get a little further. Like I said, it's going to be a slow road through Philippians. I hope everybody got something out of this. Hope I made some sense. And right now, let's just pray out of this real fast. Lord God, our Father, we thank you once again for your word. Father, let it be that this word is not just a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, but it's a word that when we come out and get before people that we'll go ahead and speak your word. It's all about bringing us to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, Deacon Sir Charles Tate, for your lesson this morning. Joy, rejoice, happiness. Yes, I'm sure everybody is happy today. It's Christmas. And yes, the opportunity to tell someone about Christ, because you never know what situation we will be in that God will put us in that will open the door for us to tell somebody about Christ. We all going to have a testimony. Very good lesson. Thank you. And we're going to look forward to hear more next week. Same time, same place. Amen. Thank you.
Hey, Merry Christmas. I meant to say everything that you were saying. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Goodbye. All right. I'm out of here.
All right. Good day. All right. Get your coffee, tea, crumpet. Because after this selection, we will see you on the other side to start our service, okay?
This year we've been blessed.
That I was given.
What's been given to us?
To us, the gifts, and knowing that the joy we bring will soon pass away.
Joy that earthly gifts bring soon will pass away. Was it really?
Oh,
but true?
Joy is found. Knowing the love we give.
It will sustain us. Even when the seasons
change.
Even when the seasons pass away. So this holiday season, as you get ready for all the gift giving,
as you prepare for the holiday,
I want you to remember this. Don't Christmas Day. Ah, yeah. Help someone. Take time and spread good tidings. If you can't give presents,
give love.
Ah, yes. All across the world, we've been blessed. Been given to us.
The gifts. Knowing that the joy it brings will soon pass away.
It will soon pass away.
But what's new is now old. It wasn't meaningful.
And was it really, really meaningful to the soul? Listen. True joy is found in only. Sustain us.
Jesus,
yes.
When the
so this holiday season, as you prepare all the gifts to give, know
as you prepare for the holiday,
that you can't forget to remember,
don't forget to remember
on this Christmas Day.
On this Christmas Day.
Find yourself helping someone. Yes.
Spread good tidings.
Yes. This year,
only
somebody's life with a hug or a smile make it worth their while.
Jesus is the reason for the season. Merry Christmas, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And our scripture reading today is 2 Corinthians 9:6-15. That is 2 Corinthians 9:6-15. It is titled, The Season of Giving. Love that. Here reads the Word of God. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources, and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So, two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Time given. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and the preached word so that all of those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask all these blessings, Lord, and we are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and thank God. All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Thank you. And Jesus is the reason for the season. Ain't it awesome that we can actually, you know, have our worship service that we always have on Saturday, and then it's actually Christmas. It's that time of year where we get to, you know, remember that Jesus is a real historical person. I see people on Facebook all the time wishing folks happy heavenly birthdays. I woke up this morning and I say, Jesus. He said, what? I say, happy heavenly birthday. See, because Jesus up there, he still got that body that he ascended into heaven with. And he was a real historical person. So he literally had a birthday. Amen. And that's what we're celebrating. We're remembering that promise God made to us in Genesis 3:15. He said, I'm going to send somebody that's going to break the devil's grip over y'all. And his name is Jesus. Amen. And so Pope Julius, around 350 A.D., decided Christians needed to remember Jesus on Christmas. Amen. Because a whole lot of other things was going on. And he wanted Christians to think about Jesus on Christmas. So look at your neighbor and say, thank you, Pope Julius, for giving us this day to celebrate. And I thank God for all the folks, amen, that he used to help in America, to help make Christmas the tradition it is today. And for all them pagan nations that we stole a tradition and turned it into our Christian tradition. But it's fun. Amen. Amen. So I just love the Lord, and I love this time of the year. I always have. Christmas has always been big in my family and my house, and I just thank God for it. And then when my mother and father led me to Christ, it became all about Jesus and stuff, Jesus and stuff. Amen. So we get to have both ends of it. Thank God for old Saint Nick. He was a real person. He was the Bishop of Meer. Amen. And he was a real priest, a real bishop, and what he did was he went around and he gave gifts to people. And so that tradition came into our Christian tradition, and guess what we call him today? Santa Claus. Amen. But still, this is the season of giving. Amen. But we all know that if it wasn't for Jesus, amen, for Christians, there wouldn't be any Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Karen. Merry Christmas, Mother. Merry Christmas, Tad. Merry Christmas, Yolanda. Merry Christmas, bro.
Merry Christmas, Kurt.
It's time.
It's time again for the holidays. With pain and sorrow miles away. But in my spirit, I gotta say, there's no Christmas without you. With caroling and mistletoe, children playing in the snow, but in their hearts the world is slow. There's no Christmas without you.
Your gift?
Your gift of love.
Yeah.
Jesus, your
Jesus, your about you. What's his name?
Jesus.
Yeah, you better act like you know it here. Come on, family, let's say it again.
Awesome. All right. Awesome. Awesome, Pastor. As always, you took us there. You know, we love those Christmas songs. And we just thank you for those blessings of songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns. Because there is a power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear in praying, closing out this last Saturday service of this year, is our very own pastor and shepherd, Gerald Marshall Overall, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Gerald Marshall Overall. Take us to the Lord in prayer. Amen.
Amen, amen. God only knows. I love that song. That's by Kingdom and Country. Amen. And it just really, really takes me there every time I listen to it because, you know, there are, you know, times in our lives where only God knows. Sometimes we don't even know. We don't know why we feel like that. And then only, and there are times in our lives when we're so far left that only God can love us. And this is the kind of love that only God can have. And he'll always have it. And he'll always love us. And he'll always know. Even when we don't know, even when we can't figure it out, God already knows. Amen. Amen. And since he knows, he already has a plan. He already has it worked out. All you have to do is hold on, hold out until the change comes, because the change is coming. Just like every single, I love it that the Lord gave the earth. He didn't give it to heaven. In heaven, they don't have days and nights. But here on the earth, we have 24-hour days. The evening and the morning was the first day. That constituted a 24-hour period. And you know what that does for us? Everything God did, if you pay close attention to it, it gives us hope. When it's darkest at night, the hope we have is this a 24-hour day. Daytime is coming. And nothing can stop it because God has decreed it. Are you getting it? Are you in darkness right now? Know this, daylight is coming. Amen. Oh, we were in a great darkness. Why? Because Adam and Eve, they fell for the okey-doke. They fell for the devil's lie. And they believed that if they ate from the tree, it'd be good for food. It was a tree that could make you wise. And it was even nice to look at. And so they took it and ate. But they forgot what God said. God said that the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely be separated from me and die spiritually. And it happened. And Adam and Eve went straight crazy. They started running around the garden, found them a tree and some fig leaves, and tried to cover what used to be nothing is now shame. They're feeling guilt. They're feeling condemnation. They're feeling a separation from God. They no longer love to walk with the Lord in the cool of the garden of the evening. They're running and hiding and dipping and dodging and lying and blaming. Adam said, the woman you gave me, she gave me and I ate. The woman said, the snake you made smarter than everything else, he tricked me and I ate. And God said in Genesis 3:15 that he was going to send us a Savior. He said that Satan would become the enemy and had become the enemy of all mankind. There was enmity now between the man and the woman. But God said that through the woman, somebody would come who would crush, who would break Satan's hold, remove his authority, his kingdom, his headship over us, and restore us back to God. Let's pray about that. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Somewhere around 4 to 6 B.C., Jesus came into this world. He became a real historical person when the question was asked in heaven, who will go? Jesus said, I will. God the Son stepped up and took that name, Jesus. He became Emmanuel. He became God with us. He became Jesus. He saved. He became the Christ, the anointed one. The power that was in him was able to reconcile us back to God. That power only existed in him, and he came to save and to seek out those who were lost. And everybody from Adam and Eve up till this very day have been born and shaped in iniquity. But we thank you, Father, that on this day that Pope Julius chose to celebrate the birth of Christ, we get to remember that he came, that long-awaited promise from Genesis 3:15 through all those thousands of years finally came to pass. And we hear John the Baptist say, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was now in the world, Salvation was now in the world. The promise that you made to us all those years ago had come to pass. That babysitter that you gave us, the law, the one who was to keep us in order until Christ came, could now leave. And grace, yes, the law came through Moses, but grace came through Jesus Christ. We have now received your unmerited favor, and it has become for us the best gift we could ever get every single Christmas from the time we accepted that gift you sent until this very moment. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift. And, Father, we thank you that Pope Julius thought that it would be a good idea for Christians to remember on December 25th when Jesus came into our world and became a real historical person, even though we know because he was born in a cave and because the shepherds were out in the fields watching their flocks by night, we know that Jesus was not born in December 25th. It is just the day that we chose to remember. And I'm sure you don't have a problem with that. We could have chose January 12th. It would still be a celebration of Jesus coming into this world and become a real historical person. Father, we thank you for Mary. We thank you for her willingness after coming to understand how she would become impregnated. We thank you for her willingness, for her saying, then be it unto me as the Lord has said. Father, we thank you for Joseph, who was kind of turned up and twisted up because his bride-to-be was pregnant. He knew he didn't do it, but we thank you that you sent the same angel you sent to Mary, you sent to him. And when Joseph arose from his sleep, having been informed that what is in Mary was produced by the Holy Spirit, he took Mary to be his wife, and he did not have relations with her until the child was born. So we thank you for them, Father, and their willingness, chosen by you to bring the Savior into the world, into our time and space, and to walk among us, as John said, we beheld his light as the only begotten Son of the true and living God. God the Son, God the man. We thank you, Father, that you sent somebody who could reconnect us to you, somebody who you could also place all our sins on. Your word tells us that in his flesh you crucified our sins. And all we have to do is believe and receive the gift of eternal life. We can't earn it. We can't purchase it. John tells us in his gospel in chapter 1 that to as many as have believed, to them he gave the power, the right, the authority to call themselves the children of God. And this was not of a mother and father's decision, but one that would be produced by God. You filled us with your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit is proof, is evidence that we are in fact your children. And we cannot thank you enough for that, Father. We would be absolutely nothing without you. We are like what Paul said, we are whatever we are by your grace. And all of this is because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. The one who saves. The one who is anointed, who has the power to reconcile us back to you. And he came and he did that. So we celebrate. We say Merry Christmas. Even if we say Happy Holidays, Lord, you know the word happy simply means blessed. As you said, Jesus, over there in Matthew, when you preached your Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, you said, blessed are you, blessed are you. We understood that word to mean happy are you. So when people say happy holidays, they can't help but to give praise to you, Father, and say blessed holidays. Without even knowing it, they praise you. Or you said everything that hath breath shall praise the Lord. And without even knowing it, they praise you. Every day they wake up and stretched and everything's working, they praise you without knowing it. They know, Heavenly Father, that in you we live, move, and have our being. You've not left us to where we're so ignorant and so out of touch that we can't know that. So they know, Father. And we assuredly know, those of us who have accepted Christ, we know. Our knee bows willingly, our tongue confesses willingly that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We don't have to be bent. We don't have to have you, Father, when you told Jesus, sit here at my right hand while I make your enemies your footstool. We are willingly bent. We don't have to be made. We thank you. And we celebrate this awesome Christmas day because of what Jesus did. Oh, Jesus, you truly are. Even though Christians never celebrated Christmas, just Easter, we thank you that we get to remember. And we thank you for all of the pagans who gave us the traditions that we hold so dear today. We thank you for those who refined Christmas. We thank you for the Bishop of Myre. We thank you for St. Nicholas and for his motivating us to be like him, who was being like you. Lord, you created the heavens and the earth, and you gave it to Adam as a gift, something he could not purchase or earn. And then Adam, like you, shared everything he had with Eve. The Bishop of Myre, St. Nicholas, did the same thing, and now we are all inspired to be givers like you at Christmas. This is truly the season of giving. And even in that, Father, we are reminded of the gift you gave us, and his name is Jesus. Help us, Lord, as we go forward, from this day forward, help us to continuously be givers. You said in your own word, Lord, in Acts chapter 20, through the mouth of Paul, you said that you taught him Jesus. He said, you know how the Lord Jesus said that it is far better to give than to receive. Father, we want to be those who give a lot so we can get a lot, so that we have everything we need, so that whenever an opportunity comes up for us to give, we can. So don't let just Christmas, help us, Father, to not let just Christmas, this season of giving, be just the December 25th, but help it to last throughout the year. Help us, Father, to be like you. You gave us a world. You gave us a Savior. You gave us eternal life. You're going to give us the new heaven and the new earth. You're going to give us the new Jerusalem? Help us to be like you. Help us to want so we can give. Help us not to want so we can have, but help us to want so we can give. Help us to desire so we can give, not so we can have, but desire to give. We want to be like you. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you even know us. We thank you that you even hear us. As the psalmist said, who is man that thou art mindful of him, that you would visit with us? Oh, well, we are your children because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And without Christ, we would be absolutely nothing. But in Christ, we are absolutely everything. We don't even know, Father. It does not yet appear, as John told us in 1 John chapter 3, he said, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when Jesus comes to get us, whether he comes to get us individually or in the rapture, we shall be like him. And that's what we wait for. But while we're waiting, Father, help us to celebrate Christmas every day. Help us to stay in the season of giving. Help us to be that light of the world. Help us to be that salt of the earth. Help us to help people see. Help us to help us make life more palatable for people. Help us to give them Jesus so they are preserved. Help us to be what you said we are, Jesus, every day. But, Father, we just stop and say thank you right now for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. on this day. We thank you for all the food. We thank you for all the clothes. We thank you for the ability to give gifts. We even thank you for the ability to receive. Father, when you make us givers, it's hard for us to become receivers because we love giving, and we get all funny looking when we receive because we just want to give. So we thank you for the blessing to give. And for that last verse that Deaconess Kathy Clyburn read, oh, thank God for this wonderful gift that's indescribable, and that is the gift to be like you, to give. So we thank you for everything that you've given us. You said seek first your kingdom. You said seek first your righteousness, and you would add everything to us. And Lord, we got so much stuff, we can't even hardly move around. You are really keeping your word. Us, Father, look at this stuff that we keep tripping over and decide to give it to somebody so somebody else can have. Lord Jesus, like Deacon Charles Tate said, I can talk to you all day because we talk all day, but we on Blog Talk Radio and time has run out. And in your name, Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you for coming in our time and space and become a real historical person. Happy birthday, Jesus. Happy heavenly birthday. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The wonderful gift of giving. Beautiful time of year. Thank you. Thank you, faithful Pastor Shepherd, Gerald Marshall overall, Pastor O.
Awesome.
For doing double, triple duty all the time. And just thank you for praying and on our behalf, praying to the Lord. We thank
you. You're welcome.
Awesome.
Oh, Jesus.
You got the best right there. Okay. All right.
All righty.
Thank you. Thank you. We are grateful. All right. We have had a great Christmas morning service, and I want to continue to wish you all, the listeners all around this beautiful world, a Merry Christmas. And I'd like to wish my niece, Angelita Cox, a happy birthday today on the day, Christmas baby, okay? And I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship service, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? All right. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing following this song selection is our very own brilliant man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. He's standing in for Minister John McFaul as he continues to get well. So let's prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive King. Let every heart prepare him room. Oh Lord, and heaven and nature sing. Heaven and
joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for reminding us that you are the reason for the season. Father, right now, I just ask that you have your way and you move me completely out of the way, because it's all about you and it's not about me, and you get all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, as well as all the credit. And it's in your precious and holy name that I pray this prayer. Amen and amen. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. What a joyous time of year. It's Christmas. But most of all, it's the time to celebrate Jesus, the birth of Jesus. If you would, please, turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. And it reads as follows. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called a Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The title of my message today is The Gift of God. The Gift of God. You know, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born. Jesus was born in a manger, but he was born for a particular reason. He was born to bring life to the world. He was born to bring joy to the world. As it says in the second part of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Mary had a baby, and not only did she have a baby, that baby became the Savior of the world. Now, who else would become the Savior of the world? Who else would be willing to become the Savior of the world? Nobody but Jesus. Jesus was born in a manger from a woman who had a baby and named him Jesus. See, Mary didn't know that. There's a song out there that says, Mary, did you know that one day your baby would walk on water. Mary did not know that Jesus, that her son, who she named Jesus, would one day be the Savior of the world. Unless God told her what was going to happen. In the middle part of verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." If you don't have the gift of, if you don't have Jesus, the gift of life in you, your government cannot be ran by Jesus. If you don't have the gift of life in you, whose name is Jesus, your life cannot be governed or court by Jesus, because Jesus is the reason for the season. And yes, we love presence. Yes, we love spending time with our families, but the main reason for the season should be Jesus. See, it says in John chapter 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Without the gift of Jesus, we will not be the people that we are today. Without the gift of Jesus, we will not be doing the work that God has given us to do. And it says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. If we stay connected with Jesus, we are experiencing the gift of life, because he tells us in that verse, apart from me, you can do nothing. We cannot do the work that God has given us to do through Satan. We can only do the work that God, that we were called to do through the gift of God, and that's Jesus. I said this a little bit ago. If you don't have Jesus as your number one meeting for Christmas, you are missing out on eternal life. If you don't have Jesus as your number one meeting for Christmas, you are missing out on eternal life. Because he is your wonderful, he is your wonderful counselor. He will be your mighty God. He will be your everlasting Father if you realize that you have the gift of God, the gift of God in you. Not only do you have the gift of God in you, but you have the gift of eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. See, we think, yes, we love present. Yes, we love eating food. Yes, we love eating physical food. But if you don't spend time with Jesus, you are missing out on the gift of life. Let me say that again. Yes, we love present. Yes, we love physical food. But if you don't spend time developing an intimate relationship with Jesus, you are missing out on the real meaning of Christmas. Because Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the one who gave his life. Jesus is the one who was born in a manger. Nobody else was born in a manger. Nobody else was wrapped in swaddling cloths. Nobody else was willing to die on the cross for your sins but Jesus. So if you don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus, something is wrong. If you don't take the time to develop an intimate relationship with the gift of God, then you are missing out on the real meaning of Christmas. Because Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." I'm going to break it down for you. Jesus can't be your Wonderful Counselor. Jesus can't be your Wonderful Counselor if you don't talk to him. Jesus can't be your Everlasting Father if you don't develop a relationship with him. Jesus can't be your Prince of Peace if you refuse his love. Folks, don't refuse the gift don't refuse the real Christmas present. Because I said it earlier, yes, we love presents. Yes, we love food. Yes, we love physical food. But the most important present you could ever have in your life for Christmas is an intimate relationship with the true and living God, whose name is Jesus. He will never leave you nor forsake you. People will leave you, but Jesus, the gift of God, will never leave you. He said in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you are looking for an intimate relationship with somebody and you can't go to a person who loves you, go to Jesus. Turn yourself to the gift of God, because once you develop an intimate relationship with Jesus, you will never be the same. And once you develop an intimate relationship with Jesus, other people that you don't like will come around and ask you, how did you receive that relationship with Jesus? And you can tell them, I spent time developing an intimate relationship with Jesus. You can tell them, I spent time reading his word when I didn't want to. You can tell them, I took the time to talk to him when he wanted to talk to me. And you know, once you develop an intimate relationship with Jesus, your life will turn into the life that God wants it to be. And you can say, you can tell somebody, even though Christmas is in December, I'm giving this gift to you because Jesus gave it to me. Because I spent time with him developing an intimate relationship with him. That's all God wants. God, you may ask God, God, I want this for Christmas. And God is telling you, I want your heart. God is telling you, give me your heart, and I will give you the desires of your heart. What God is doing is he wants us to develop. He wants us to develop a hungry heart for him for Christmas. And once you develop a hunger and a thirst for God, your life will never be the same. Because it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born. Who else would be born in a manger? Who else would be wrapped in swaddling clothes? Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Nobody born in a manger from a woman named Mary who thought she wasn't, who didn't know that her baby was going to be the savior of the world. Nobody but Jesus went to the cross for you. So how can you not have an intimate relationship with the gift of God? You may ask, what am I trying to say to you? What I'm trying to tell you is physical presence are fun. Being around physical people and being around your physical family, yes, it's fun. But having the gift of God in your life for Christmas is the ultimate gift that you want, because that gift will last forever. And that gift will always love you, even when people stop loving you for who you are and what you do. The gift of God, whose name is Jesus, will always love you for who you are and for what you do. So develop a intimate relationship with the ultimate Christmas present, because he is the one who gave his life for you. I grant you, God, our Heavenly Father, you said in your word you said in your word in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, you told us to resist the devil at his onset. And you tell us to draw near to you, and you will draw near to us. Father, you want us to come close to you so that we could have an intimate relationship with you. That's what we want today. And Father, I thank you for the privilege to preach and teach your word the way that you have given it to me to preach and teach your word. Because, Father, it's not about me. It's all about you. And as I said earlier, you get all the credit for this word that was imparted in my heart today. You're the one who planted this word in me. And Father, what a privilege it was to preach your amazing word with such power. And I could only do it because of you and you alone. So I praise you and you alone. You get all the glory. You get all the praise and you get all the honor as well as all of the love that you deserve. It's in your precious and holy name that I pray this word and that I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Terrence Tate, what an awesome and beautiful word. Merry Christmas to you. We just want to thank you so much for taking the time out today and just giving us an amazing word. You know, we always say that Jesus is the reason for the season, and it is by no coincidence, all right, because we believe in Jesus, and we know that there is no such thing as a coincidence. But it is not by coincidence that we celebrate today as the birth of Jesus. And so the word that you brought to us is so amazing. He is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. It's not about presents. It's not about stuff. It's not about money. It is about what Jesus did for us on the cross, giving us the greatest gift that he could have given us, which was his life. And then when he ascended back to heaven, he gave all of us who would accept him his Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. But the biggest thing is that we have eternal life with him because of our belief in his death, burial, and resurrection. So just what a beautiful word. Thank you for not fussing at us today. It was so beautiful, so calm. And so we just thank you for taking the time out today to bring us a beautiful word and teaching us how important it really is to just accept the greatest gift ever, which was the gift of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Pastor Terrence Tate. We're going to let you get on with your day. Merry Christmas to you and my family over there. We love you. Thank you for taking time out today to bring us an amazing word. Amen. Thank you. So
thank you.
You're welcome. We love you. excuse me. So Pastor is going to come back for some closing words after announcement. So good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas to everyone and happy Saturday to all of our Blog Talk Radio listeners, old and new, who tuned into our Saturday morning worship service today. We are so thankful to have you with us on this Christmas morning. We always want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour, Pastor Terrence Tate, who he did double duty, I think triple duty this month, because he preached twice, and then I believe that he did altar call one Saturday. So Pastor Terrence Tate has been working this month, and so, you know, we know that he is always ready to bless us with a word from the Lord. And so the word that we got today was so beautiful. And so we thank him for his faithfulness and his consistency and his obedience to bring the word to us today. And so we pray that all of you who are tuned in this morning were blessed in some way by what you heard. But we know that you are. So we know that you were blessed. So we're not even questioning that fact. Amen. We know there's no way that you got through this whole entire service and were not touched by what you heard. Amen. Amen. So as Pastor always says, you know, Sundays, Running for Christ Ministries is the only church that's open, you know. So 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan is the only address that you need to know for tomorrow, because that's Running for Christ Ministries, and that's where we're located. Again, 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Come on out tomorrow with us. Really quickly, we have a new announcement. We will have our annual New Year's Eve service on this coming Friday, December 31st at 10 p.m. Y'all know we do this every single year. It has been amazing every single year. It's going to be right here on Blog Talk Radio, so make sure to tune in to listen to some music, give thanks, and start out your new year by giving praises to God. Amen. Our very own Pastor O Awesome O will be, I love that name, Awesome O will be bringing what my pen pal likes to call a sermonette. I don't know if Pastor knows how to do sermonettes. That's like the mini baby version of a full-size sermon. But nevertheless, Pastor's bringing it, so we're going to listen to it. And it's going to be amazing as it always is. So, again, our annual New Year's Eve service will be here on Blog Talk Radio on Friday, December 31st at 10 p.m. We got music. We got testimonies. We got, you know, opportunities to give thanks. And I'm really expecting people to step up this year. This has been a crazy year. A lot has gone on. We are, you know, in our almost in two full years of COVID. And so I know that there are a lot of testimonies out there. So we are really expecting, I am really expecting for people to be lined up to tell everybody all around the world how good God has been to them this year. Amen. So make sure to tune in on Friday, December 31st at 10 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio for our annual New Year's Eve service. Amen. Amen. And by way of a couple other announcements, don't forget every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall here on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. So make sure to set your reminder for that. Also, excuse me, Bible reading class is on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. This Wednesday, Deacon Charles Mackey will be up teaching Psalms, chapters 51, excuse me, the fifth questions will be available on our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes. Pastor always sends us an email, and they were also going to be on the back table for those who are in attendance in Sunday service. So get those ready for Wednesday. Also, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries, it's Ladies Bible Class, is happening from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Our amazing pastor, Janice Tate, is the teacher. In order to be able to participate, because it's not in person, you will need to call Pastor Tate. So just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources, and you will find the phone number to call to be able to participate in the Ladies Bible Class. That happens, again, every Saturday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Amen. Again, as you know, we're in-person service, so we're so thankful to God for allowing us the ability to have returned to in-person services. So tomorrow, it's so crazy. Today is Saturday. It's weird. So today is Saturday, but tomorrow is Sunday, and it's December 26th, and so we will be having our in-person Sunday worship service beginning at 10 a.m. Everyone, of course, is welcome to join us, but if you do, we are asking that everyone who attends to please wear a mask. If you don't have one, no worries. One will be provided for you so that everyone can remain safe during our service. Our amazing praise team will lead us in our song worship, and our very own Awesome O, Pastor O, will be bringing us, amen, the preached word. We are so thankful again to God for allowing us to return in person and to be able to see one another. It really makes a difference to be able to be in person. We never miss a service. When COVID happened, we transitioned right to Blog Talk Radio, and we never missed a beat. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like being able to physically go into church and hug one another or fist bump or elbow bump or wave at a distance to just be present with everyone. It really makes a difference. So if you're not able to attend or you're still not comfortable with being in person, that's absolutely no problem. We fully understand. Please feel free to listen to the Blog Talk Radio service that we hear at 10 a.m. at 1 p.m. Just go to, excuse me, our church website, rfcm.org, and you can also click on, I know, Pastor, I usually get them in an email as well, so you can click on the email on the link that's in there, and you'll be able to hear the service at 1 p.m., just like we heard it in person at 10 a.m. Amen? Amen. Also, don't forget, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is here on Blog Talk Radio with her own show, Back to the Family. You can find her call-in number on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. Also, check out her website, bbtsus.com. Amazing content. Listening to the show on Sundays, it's really, really wonderful. So much is talked about, and it's just really interesting and really wonderful to hear. So just please make sure to call in or click the show page link for Sunday at 4 p.m. to listen to Back to the Family. Amen. Amen. Also, a reminder that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Not much in this world is free. Actually, nothing is free. We know that everything kind of comes with a price, a free trial after so many days. I need your credit card just in case. You know, nothing's really free in this world, but salvation is free. Amen. Okay, because Jesus paid it all for us. And all these blog talk classes and services, all of these recordings are free. Now, we know as much time as Pastor O has spent on Blog Talk Radio teaching, we've been through the Bible multiple times and classes and all this stuff. We know Pastor could, you know, he's trying to get that $1 million in his bank account. So we know he could be charging, but he's not. Amen. So all of these things are free. They are legitimately free. You can listen to them on the website once you click the link, or you can download them and continue to listen to them for free. Amen. So, again, not much in this world is free, but these Blog Talk Radio classes are, we're so thankful that we're able to, you know, do what we're doing and still be able to let them be for free without there being a cost. And so we're so thankful for that. So just make sure to listen to these classes, listen to these services. All of them, since we have been on Blog Talk, are there. They are available from the very beginning. So make sure to share them, download them, use them to help you grow in your Christian walk. Amen. Amen. Also, if you want to bless us at Run for Christ Ministries with a love offering, or if you want to pay your tithes or give anything additional towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, again, rfcm.org is the place to go. In addition to this, if you want to give a love offering for Pastor Terrence Tate, who brought us the beautiful word today on Christmas Day, rfcm.org under tithes and offerings is the place to go. You'll be able to give your love offering there. Just make sure to annotate who it's for. Excuse me, and it will be passed on to Pastor Terrence Tate accordingly. Amen. Amen. Also, just a little quick thing. Let's not forget to support our very own Pastor O in his new book release, as well as our own Pastor Jonathan Tate in the release of his very first book. Amen. You can find this info, again, on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. Also, you will find the full teaching of Kingdom Agenda classes, as well as our Christian Doctrine class, from the book Major Bible Themes. So there's just so much information on our church website. We know that Pastor O works really, really hard on the website. So please go check it out. Everything that you need to know and do and be involved in at Running for Christ Ministries is on our church website. Again, rfcm.org. Amen. Amen. So John chapter 14, verses 22-27 reads, "Then Judas," not Judas Iscariot, "said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Amen. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And so we know that we must seek the Lord in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, we know that it's our responsibility to unite as one and come together in all of our individual purposes, amen, and serve in the body of Christ, or serve as the body of Christ. We are one. All of our talents and all of our things come together to form the body of Christ. We are one. Amen? Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. Y'all know what it says. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And we know that when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. And so we ask your prayers for those who are sick, those who are shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Make sure to pray for one another. Of course, make sure to pray for yourself, those who you know personally, our children, our nation, our world, our leaders, as they are constantly facing major decisions that affect all of us, those who are missing and being exploited, those who are being trafficked and just sexually abused. Continue, of course, to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, and so, so much more. Special prayers, of course, go out to all of our beautiful mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Please keep Tyrone Hamilton in your prayers. Pastor John Mack, who praise God, is home from the hospital and is recovering. We pray for all of, again, the leaders and teachers, administration, parents, and students as we keep the town of Oxford in our prayers. We want to make sure that we are continuing to pray for all of those in multiple states who have been affected by devastating storms and tornadoes that have ripped through so many places. You know, we pray for those in Kentucky that lost everything due to a tornado. And even though many people caring about other people have come, you know, to the aid, we just have so much to be thankful for. And even though our situation might not be what we would like, we know that God is still God. He is sovereign and he is still good. And he's a good God on this Christmas day because he gave his one and only son to die for us. Amen. I'm asking, of course, that you please continue to keep myself and my brother and my son and my family in prayer due to my mom, you know, being in hospice care now, which has been a transition. But, you know, we trust God and we know that, you know, he is going to do everything according to his will. And so just continue to pray for all of the bereaved families everywhere, you know, the lonely, the hurting, the stressed, and the homeless, especially, during this time of the season. Amen. And just remember to pray as we gather together during this holiday with family and friends. And, you know, and as COVID and, you know, the Omicron virus is there's just still, there's just out there. You know, we're over it, but it ain't over us. Okay. So we know that God has a plan. So it's rapidly attacking, you know, the unvaccinated. And so just make sure as you're gathering with your family to not be selfish, because COVID is not about you. It's about the other person. So just make sure to be safe. And as you gather, to wear your mask. Amen. Always, you know, we love our Run for Christ Ministry family. So please continue to keep our very own Sharon, Carmen, Alana, and the entire Abraham family in your thoughts and prayers. In the loss of their loved ones, you know, remember to pray for those who, again, are spiritually, you know, lost and confused. We know that the enemy steal, kill, destroy. That's his job. That's what he's going to do until the day is done, okay? So that's what he's going to do, and he's out there convincing people that God is not who he is, and some people are like, ah, Jesus, he, you know, we have to pray for those people. So John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. Eternal life hinges on your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's no relationship with the Father without the Son. And there is no receipt of the Holy Spirit, your advocate, your guide, without Jesus having gone to the cross on our behalf. There's no price that we have to pay in accepting Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we're going to have to give up the things that we do in this life, but that's because God wants better for us. And there's nothing better than having a relationship with the Father, because without Jesus, there is no relationship with the Father. Amen. So we have to remember what Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. That's really what this whole thing is about. In Jerusalem, which is your immediate household, Judea, which is your immediate community, Samaria, which is outside of your comfort zone, to people and places where you wouldn't normally go and associate with, and to the ends of the earth. And these are people and places you will never want to be around or go to. Amen. We have to remember that we can't be selfish with the word of God, and everybody all over the world needs to hear the word of God. So it's our job as believers in Christ and as the body of Christ to spread the gospel of Jesus so that no souls are left behind. Matthew 25:41 says hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay, so it's already set up for him and them, not people. All right, but we know that unfortunately some will end up in eternal torment because they fail to accept Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is a serious thing. This life is short. We see all the time on the news. We already know what's going on every day. There's nothing good on there. Amen. We know that this life is short, excuse me, and God is not bound by time, but we are. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says to teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. John 14, 3 says that I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back, and I will take you to be with me where I am. And we know that that I is Jesus. And so if you didn't believe that hell wasn't created for us, John 14, 3 clearly says that I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to be with me where I am. And we know that Jesus is not in hell. He is in heaven. Amen. And so for those of us who accept Jesus Christ and believe in him, we will be with him when it is our time. Amen. Amen. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation 21:4, this one is my favorite. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All of these things are gone away forever. Praise God. So when you're sad, heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even just with the loss that we see here and read about, all over the world on a daily basis, whether you're watching the news, reading the news, whatever it is, it's there. It's always in our face. Use these scriptures as well as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the Word of God can give. Amen. And so with that, we ask that you please continue again to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers. We pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Again, it is Christmas Day. And we know that this time always proves to be a difficult time of year for so many people. So please remember to be sensitive, to be kind, and be caring to those around you, especially during this time. Amen. Matthew 5:14 through 16, you are the light of the world. Yep, y'all over there, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not in the form of money or material things, especially on a day like today where people have gone into debt trying to provide gifts and things for people. Amen. We know that we feel blessed when we receive gifts and things like that, but the greatest gift has already been given, and that is the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we know that blessings are not always in the form of money or material things, although we love those. But a kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free. A warm smile is the universal language of kindness. Amen. So take time out today to be some sunshine. It's cloudy where I'm at. It's not snowing, no, praise God. So take time out today to be some sunshine to somebody in your world, one, because it's Christmas Day, and two, because Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says to keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Just think about that. Amen. Amen. So, all right, y'all, it's the last month of 2021. Happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, who are celebrating today. I know some people don't like having Christmas birthdays because you just kind of get birthday and Christmas gifts all in one. There's no separation. But it's a great day to be born, amen? So happy birthday to everybody who's celebrating today. But you know we always send special love and birthday wishes to our Running for Christ Ministries family. So Carmen, my sister, celebrating on the 8th, my favorite Cardinal, Elder Joe, Stephen celebrating on the 9th, Tyra Payne on the 11th, Pastor Tate, Jonathan Tate's son, John, celebrating on the 15th, and my sister Anita will be wrapping up this month with her birthday on the 31st. Amen. So happy, happy birthday to everyone. Amen. Amen. So for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. And that is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. So your devotional for today, a prayer of thanks and praise for the greatest gift of all. That is Jesus. Amen. And this is by Debbie McDaniel. In this season of giving gifts, and the hustle and bustle of the holidays it often brings, it can be all too easy to overlook the greatest gift of all, the very one who brought Christmas to us, the one who lights our world and brings hope to our days. That is Jesus. Sometimes we just need to stop everything and remember again how thankful we are for our Savior, for he is everything to us. When we're troubled and hurting, when we feel lonely or afraid, he is our wonderful counselor. When we need to see a miracle in life, when we need someone to fight for us, he is our mighty God. When we forget who we belong to, when we need to be reminded that we're greatly loved and cared for, he is our everlasting Father who loves to give good gifts to his children. When we feel anxious and worried, when we need a reminder that our future is secure no matter what swirls around us, he is our Prince of Peace. His very presence in our lives gives us such great reason to celebrate. If you have big needs today, be assured he is a big God. Nothing is too difficult for him to handle, and he cares about all that concerns you. Maybe you've experienced deep loss this year, or you feel all alone this season, and fear or despair have gripped your heart. You can bring it to Jesus. All of it, the brokenness, the questions, and the pain. Amidst the chaos and busyness of the season, we can find true rest in him alone. Emmanuel, God with us. So much reason to celebrate. Thank you, Jesus. So as we say this prayer together, dear Father, help us to focus on the greatest gift of all this season and the whole year through. Thank you for sending your one and only Son that we might be saved through him. We praise you for your faithfulness and your power. We thank you for your love and your peace. Forgive us for letting other things get in the way of remembering what's most important this Christmas. We ask for your joy and strength to fill us afresh. May we shine the light of your presence everywhere we go. We need you and we love you, Lord. In his powerful name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Amen. And Pastor and Mrs. O and the Running for Christ Ministries family would like to say Merry Christmas to all of our Blog Talk listeners around the world and to those that listen in regularly to our services. May God bless you as we enter into a new year. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, so baby Holy Ghost told me to say that or not.
Yes, she, no, she didn't.
Probably
did
not fart. Amen. Hey, Crystal, while I was sitting here listening to you, you know, your big brother was talking Jesus. He was like, I want you to tell Crystal, thank you for the effort and not just having some boring routine announcements, but actually speaking life. To my people, to my little brothers and sisters. So, you know, so there's your Christmas gift. He said, thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, you've been around since 09, Crystal. I mean, you've been hanging
it's
in
been
there with announcements on the regular.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
Amen. So when Jesus hooks you up with all them blessings, when you get to heaven and you get all them blessings.
I got you.
Hook a brother up, okay? Remember a brother. A brother put you down.
Yeah, you did. I'm going to get that hair that you've been looking for. I'm going to get you that afro that you're trying to get back from the 70s. I got you.
I want thigh strands, and I'm going to glue them right down the middle of my head.
Only the best hair for you.
I'm going to get some hair. Amen.
Yes.
God bless us all. And me with some hair. Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, Jesus.
Thank you, Crystal, for a whole year of awesome service and awesome,
Amen.
You know, I thank you for putting in all that, you know. And I thank you as well as Jesus told me to thank you. And I ain't going to steal his place, but I'm just going to join him in thanking you for putting that time in.
I stay in my lane. This is my job. Amen. Be blessed.
And
man.
You
it's
do
my
it.
Job. It's my lane. I stay in it.
And you do it well.
Amen. Thank you.
Tell me and we say Merry Christmas and what's
up. I sure will. I sure will. We love you guys. Thank you.
All right. Be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. I want to thank my co-host, the preside. She called herself the presiding person, but boy, I don't know what I would do without her. She, you know, all year long. Amen. Get these people to come on here and do scripture and prayer and altar call. And that is a huge, she just don't know it, how I prayed to God for somebody to come along and do that. And then she showed up. And remember, amen. So that is awesome to me. So, Kat, I want to thank you for being around all year long. I want to thank all of the people who do scriptures and prayers. I'm not going to even try to name all y'all, but you know who you are. You've made Blog Talk Radio what it is today. I want to thank you. I want to thank all the associate pastors, assistant pastor Janice Tate, associate pastor Jonathan Tate, associate pastor Terrence Tate, amen, associate pastor Janine Folks, and my favorite associate pastor, why, just because he's my favorite nephew, Pastor John McFall. That boy got faith that'll tear up anything. Amen? You want somebody to pray for you, get Pastor John McFall to pray for you. He will tear up whatever it is. Amen. You're going to get it. Amen? Okay, let me see what we got here. Okay, all the deacons and deaconesses, and my counselor, Sharon Abraham, president of the executive board and CFO, amen, and mostly my counselor, amen. I felt all kind of funny when she needed help. I'm like, Jesus, she the one I go to for help. Amen. I ain't never had to feel that before, but I felt it, and I thank God for her and for all the members of Running for Christ Ministries. You make my work so very, very easy because Jesus said that he was going to bring every one of y'all to my side to help me do stuff that I can't do or I'm only one person and can't do. And so I thank Jesus for each and every one of you. You make my job so easy. I thank you because of the way you give. We were able to bless Gleaners, Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Covenant House, Detroit Rescue Mission, Bondage Breaker Ministries, and First Fruit Living Ministries all year long. And that's more than we've ever been able to do. God is ever increasing, and that's because of you, because you allow the Lord to speak to you, and you give, and we're able to give. And so there are thousands of people who have food and who have shelter and who being rehabilitated and becoming productive citizens of life in life because of you and the work that we're able to do through those ministries who do such an awesome job. So I want to thank God for those that I just mentioned and the work that they do, and we should pray for them that the Lord ever increase them so that people get the help that they need. And we love supporting those ministries because they're unashamed about their relationship with Jesus. And they're not ashamed about it, and Jesus is preached in those institutions, and I thank God for them that we can actually give to our brothers and sisters who God has called to do that work so that people can see the goodness of the Lord in the world. Amen. I want to especially thank Terrence Tate for stepping up. I called him and told him the other day that I need you to step in for Pastor John McFall, and he said, not a problem. Amen. Just told me to pray him a little Christmas song before he preached, and brother came on here and explained to us clearly why we need to, amen, receive the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that if we just believe, we won't perish, be eternally separated from him, but have eternal life with him. Amen. So thank you, Pastor Terrence Tate, for reminding us to receive and to live in the gift of God. Amen. Amen. I want to thank my wife, who's been with me since day one. She's been through every up and down that nobody knows about but us, every in and out that nobody knows about us, but she has been faithful, and she has been steadfast, and she has been through every hill and through every valley right with me. She never left me and never left me alone, so I thank God for her and her steadfastness and for her faith, her steadfast faith in Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior, and for being the awesome wife that she has been to me for now for 35 years. Amen. My sure enough ride or die. Call the baby Holy Ghost because she helps me just like he does. Amen. Both of them the same. Even when I don't want to hear it, they help me. Amen. So I thank God for her 24/7, 365. Okay, Sunday, I'm going to be concluding Faith, Finances, and You. And we're going to talk about the most important part of this three-part sermon series, Faith, Finances, and You. We're going to talk about you. You need to make a change if you want things to change. The definition of insanity is keep doing the same old things with my money, and I keep expecting it to change, and it don't. Amen. So we don't want you to be insane. We want you to be sane. So come out Sunday, 10 o'clock, Faith, Finances, and You, Part 3, You. Amen. Amen. All right. So I think I thanked everybody. I want to thank everybody in the world, just because I miss, in case I miss anybody, I want to thank you too. Yep. And all our listeners all around the world, God bless you for listening, especially all over Africa, all over Europe, all over the Middle East. We thank God for you. Amen. And we haven't forgotten you. So we're remembering you and saying thank you for tuning in, and pray that you tell somebody else so they can join in too. Amen. And to that special friend over in Sierra Leone, God bless you. Amen. Okay. Well, I think I'm through with everything. Remember, Jesus, the reason for the season, if we understand what the reason is giving. If you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to be a giver. Because that's all, ever since we've known God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all they've ever done is give. And all we've ever had to do is receive. We can't outgive God, but we can try to outgive each other. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until we all meet again, let the church say, amen.